Good morning. Thank you, Mrs. Finlaw, for that rousing addition. That was lovely. He is coming, amen. Today's flowers have been placed in loving memory of William Sayers by his wife, Susan Sayers. They're beautiful. Next week, Sunday school sponsored Kite Day. Following Sunday school on April the 21st. Now, some of you might still be up in the air over this, but you're all encouraged to come, make a kite. There will be some prizes for best looking, the biggest kite, smallest kite, but they must fly. Can't just bring the smallest kite and it just is a dud. All right. The fellowship committee is planning a Mother's Day brunch on May the 4th at 10 a.m. All women and girls are invited to attend. We need some men to set up, cook, clean, and serve. So this is a good time for the men to serve others. If you're willing to help, please see Mary Cardinal or a member of the committee. Now, after you've been on your best behavior for that event, you can come to the More Power for Men on May 18th from 3 to 7 p.m. right here at QBC. So please sign up. I've caught a lot of you, but some of you I missed. So please sign up. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have some fellowship and food and fun and, more importantly, a time of encouragement, a time for prayer. We all need prayer. We all need to become more like God and you and more of his power. So please attend. It's going to be great. Please check your bulletin for the regular weekly announcements. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's good to be in your house today, and we thank you for your love, your provision, your protection. And our desire is that you will be honored and glorified by our worship. Please speak to us through Pastor Jay and your word and bless our service. And may everything we say, sing, and do be pleasing to you. For you alone are worthy of our praise. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen.
Well, let's join our voices together and worship the one whom we long for. Please stand. like to now introduce you to a new song. If you listen to Christian radio, chances are you've probably heard this song before. It's a beautiful worship song recognizing God's holiness. So let's sing together, Holy Forever.
Sing the song of ages to the land. Let's pray. And Lord, as we gather together in your name, as we gather together as people who worship you, we want to say first and foremost, holy is your name, holy forever. Lord, that's the refrain that we'll continue to sing throughout all of eternity. We'll join the angels and we'll sing about how great you are. But Lord, we pray that as we look towards the future of doing that, Lord, that we start with that now. That we start with our hearts focused on you, singing holy forever within our hearts right now. Lord, we thank you that you are the great God. And it's because you are the great God that we get to bring these requests before you. We do just continue to pray for Sherm Miller, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen him, that you would give him just a growing comfort with his own body, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen his body, that you'd bring about healing for him. We pray for patience in the meantime, that you would just be with him. We pray also for Sherm's dad, as he's just had a heart attack, and now he's recovering from all of that. We pray for wisdom for the doctors to know exactly what to do to treat him. Lord, would you just pray for the whole family during this time, that you would just surround them with your love and your peace that surpasses all understanding. And Lord, we do pray for Arlene Gertan, Lord, as well, Lord, as she's recovering and she's got more appointments and more procedures coming forward, Lord. And Lord, we do just pray for guidance for the doctors. We pray that everything would just go well if she continues treatment. And ultimately, Lord, we pray for healing for her as well. We pray for Joe Patton, Lord, as he had a procedure that went well this week. And Lord, we just pray for him as he's recovering. We pray that you would just continue to give him strength. Lord, we pray for Sarah Jane's nephew, Lord, as he's dealing with skin cancer. We just pray for healing for him. We pray for wisdom for the doctors to know what to do there. We pray for Kelly Peterson's parents, Lord. We pray for her mom, Linda, Lord, as she is just doing better. We pray for healing for her, and we pray for her dad as well as he's recovering from this virus. Lord, we pray for one of our retired missionaries, Sharon Peterson, Lord, as she's just been dealing with a lot, Lord. We pray for her as she's sick. We pray for healing for her. And Lord, we pray for her just emotionally as well as with the passing of her mother. And Lord, we do just pray just for the funeral that's going to be coming up. We pray that you would first of all give her physical healing before the funeral. And then Lord, we do just pray that the funeral is just honoring to her mom and ultimately glorifying to your name. Lord, we do just continue to pray for Dan Baldwin, Lord, as he's going to be having a surgery coming up on April 25th. We do just pray that everything would go well for that. We pray that you'd be with the doctors even now as they're planning exactly what to do. We do just pray that everything would go smoothly, that it would be an easy procedure, that it wouldn't be anything complicated or anything like that. We do pray for the Overly family, set of missionaries of ours, Lord, as they're their missionaries over in Taiwan, and they're dealing with some health problems for their children. Lord, we do just pray just for their son, Asher, Lord, as he's had a fever for a few days now. Lord, we do just pray for healing for him, and we do pray for just recovery for Vivian, Lord, the mom, Lord, as she's just had a newborn, and he's home from the NICU. Lord, we do just praise you for that, but we do just pray for healing for the mom. We do pray this week for our Olympian and Gopher Buddies program that's going to be closing up this week. We do just pray as parents come out to see their kids, Lord, we do just pray that that they would be drawn to our church, Lord, that they would see us as a church and that they'd be interested in being involved with our church. Lord, we do just pray that it would be a time of honoring the kids, Lord, and we thank you for all the work that all the kids put in this past year, Lord, and I got to see a lot of it firsthand, just kids learning Bible verses, kids doing their quiet times. Lord, we do thank you for that. We just pray that as we celebrate all of that in the closing ceremony, that it's just honoring to you, and it pulls people closer to you. Lord, we do just continue to pray for those working the outage, Lord. We pray for the endurance for them, and we pray for all those working long hours. We pray for their families, Lord, as they're just at home at this time. We do just pray that you would give them patience, that you'd give endurance to those working long hours. We do pray for our missionaries of the month down in Belize, Lord, Ferrelli and Marta Pat, Lord. We do just pray that you would be with them as they have a lot of programs coming up with the children and getting ready for summer camp coming up. Lord, we do just pray that you'd just give them fruitful ministry, help them to just really reach children for you. Lord, we do pray for Joanne Jones as she's just going to be having cataract surgery on Tuesday. We do just pray that everything would go smoothly with that, that you would just help everything to go well. We do pray for Ed Plummer's mom, Lord, as she's just in the hospital, or she's just being taken care of, Lord. They're making her comfortable, Lord. We do just pray for peace and comfort for her. We do also pray for Donna's friend Candy, Lord, as she's just dealing with many health problems in the hospital, Lord. We do just pray that you would bring about healing in her life as well. And Lord, we do want to remember Israel this morning, Lord, and they have been under attack for the past day now, Lord, and just a lot of different things unfolding. Lord, we pray for protection. Lord, we pray that innocent lives would not be lost, that you would be there to protect Israel from the attack. And Lord, we do just pray for all the soldiers who are actively trying to combat it, both Israeli soldiers and U.S. soldiers and many other people there on the ground trying to help. Lord, we do just pray that you'd be with them, that you'd give them protection as well. And Lord, we again, we pray for some peaceful resolution. We pray that the leaders would be able to draw about peace, Lord. And Lord, we do just pray that, again, just for protection for innocent lives, that they would not be lost. We do pray for especially U.S. Troops over there, that you'd protect them. And I do think specifically of Daniel Croce, Lord, and some of the other people from within our church, that within our community that we know that are over there. Lord, we do just pray that you'd give them protection as they deal with everything as it unfolds as well. And Lord, as we continue our time of worship, Lord, we pray that we would continue to look to you, that we continue to lift your name high, that we'd continue to be reminded of who you are and how great you are. And we pray that we would glorify you because of it. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
For some reason, my headset is not working, so we're going to continue to worship in song. And as we sing, children in first through third are dismissed for youth church. Please stand.
Thank you.
Today's scripture reading is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. Matthew 7, verses 13 through 23. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come on you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we do just praise you now for this time. To gather before your word, Lord, we thank you that we have your word before us, that we can turn to it to hear guidance and truth, and to learn how to live our lives to glorify your name more. I pray that through what we talk about this morning, that you would be honored and glorified in each one of our hearts. Pray these things in your name. Amen. There's a pretty famous poem called The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost, and the poem tells of a traveler who's going down a path in the woods, and he comes across a split in the road, and he realizes he can't go both ways. And he thinks about what might be down each direction, or he kind of wishes he could go down one direction and maybe another day come back and go down the other direction, but he knows he can't. He knows he's got to make a decision in life, so he makes a decision. And the poem ends with the statement, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the road less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. And at the end of the poem, he says, I took the road that wasn't traveled often. And what he means by that is he says, I took the road that would have been more of an adventure, more of a, we don't know what's here, so let's find out. Well, today we're going to talk about the road less traveled. And by that, I don't mean an adventure. What I mean is the road that leads to God, and the road that leads to life. We're continuing our series now, Building on the Rock, working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. We're actually quickly approaching the end. Next week will be the final message on it. And Jesus is really approaching kind of his conclusion of his whole message. Again, you have to remember, the whole Sermon on the Mount is kind of one message that Jesus gives to his disciples. And he talks about a lot of different things there. In fact, here's a kind of just a quick list of a lot of the different topics that he touched on along the way. There's so many different things, talking about blessings for the lonely, being lights and salt in the world, dealing with anger, dealing with lust, dealing with the marriage and divorce, with oaths, retaliation, giving, prayer, fasting, our own motives, treasuring the right things, trusting in the Lord for his provision, not judging each other, asking things of the Father, and treating each other well. There's a lot of things that Jesus covered here in this message, and now he's kind of approaching the conclusion. And we're going to talk this week and next week about his conclusion. And Jesus uses two kind of different analogies in his conclusion to pretty much ask us a simple question. What are you going to do with everything he just said? And he's going to say there's two ways to approach it. And he gives two different analogies. This one, the one that we talk about this week, is one, and then we'll talk about another next week. But both of them say there's two ways to deal with all of this. What we're going to talk about this morning is he's going to talk about what's called a broad gate and a narrow gate, or a broad path and a narrow path. And he's going to say, you have two options on how to respond to this.
The first option is to continue living your life as normal, to not care about what was said, to live your own way. But the second way, which he calls the narrow gate and the narrow path, is to live for God, to respond to all of these things and say, yes, I do need to live for Jesus. I need to live for God. And he's going to say, those are your two options. There is no third way. It's important for us to say that. There's no, like, you know, you can kind of halfway live for God, halfway live for yourself. That's not really an option that Jesus is going to give us. He's going to say there's two ways, and there's only two ways. So let's see how he does that, starting in verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So Jesus creates these two contrasting gates and ways. He kind of uses the same idea of like this path that leads to a gate. And he kind of creates this contrast between them. We're going to look at the contrast in three different areas. The first way that they're different from each other is in their size. He calls one a wide gate or a broad path. That word broad path, it means like the center road in a town. You know, if you want to get somewhere quickly, you take the main road. Nowadays, we take highways if we want to get places quickly. But kind of this idea of like, if you want to get there quickly, the main road is the way to go. It's this wide path. There's room for a lot of people. It's this broad gate. You know, you get plenty of options. And here's the thing. When you're living for yourself in on the broad path and the broad gate, there are plenty of options. You can live however you want. You can do whatever you want. If you want to spend all your time working and focusing on your work, you can do that. If you want to spend all your time on leisure activities and trying to get away from it all, you can do that. If you want to spend all your time building in a relationship, you can do that. If you want to spend all your time studying some religion, you can do that. You're allowed to kind of do whatever you want on the broad path. That's why it's wide and broad. There's plenty of options for you. It's very allowing of you to do whatever you want, do things your way. And that's nice in many ways. You get to choose your own path. You get to do what you want to do. And that's why it's the wide path. But Jesus says the other path is a little different. It's narrow. There aren't many options. It's a narrow gate. In fact, it's narrow because there's only one way to go. And that one way is Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Peter is talking and he says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter's saying, listen, the narrow path is narrow because there's only one way. There's no other name. It's Jesus Christ or it's the broad path. Those are your options. It's Jesus Christ or the wide gate. It's very narrow. There's a lot of restriction to it. It's living for God. And you know, Jesus also says it's not necessarily going to be an easy way. The word here that it's used is hard. A better translation would be like being pressed. Like you don't have a lot of room. It's kind of restrictive. And it's not always comfortable. In fact, Jesus doesn't expect it to be comfortable. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, this is what Jesus says. He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, the call to follow after Jesus is not necessarily a call to have the fun that we want to have. It's not a call to do our own way. In fact, Jesus says, no, you have to die to yourself daily, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. It's a narrow path. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. So we have this narrow path and the wide path, but the second difference between them is in their popularity. Jesus says of the wide path, he says many are going to take it. Many are going to take the broad path, the broad gate. And then when he talks about the narrow path, he says few will find it. Think about that for a second. The broad path is the popular route. It's the way that the world is going to go. In fact, if we look in the world around us, we see the world speaking, and they're not speaking about God. When you look at celebrities or the media or kind of the majority, there's this idea of We live our way. We live things our way. We don't have to abide by any gospel. We don't have to abide by God. That's the way the world's telling us to act. And there's this idea that if the majority agree on something, it must be right. But Jesus says that's not the case. In fact, he says that the majority will be on the path that you don't want to be on. But then he says that the narrow path only few will take. Now, this brings us to a hard reality. And this is just something that Jesus says here, so I'm going to say it. The majority of people will be on the broad path. As much as I hate to say that, and it's a call for us to be ministers of the gospel, to take this out, to bring people to Jesus, we have to face the reality that Jesus is saying that the many will be on the broad path, and only a few will be on the narrow path. You know, it can be hard on the narrow path. We can often feel alone. We can often feel like nobody else is on this path with us. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah's feeling like that. He's feeling worn down and depressed, and God comes to him and says, "What's wrong?" And this is what he says in 1 Kings 19, verse 10. He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." What's Elijah saying? Elijah's saying, "God, I'm on this path, this narrow path, and I'm the only one here. Everyone else is on the broad path. Everyone else is attacking you. Everyone else is persecuting your prophets. And I'm the only one who's left." And at that moment, God comes alongside them and gives them two main encouragements. The first one is that God says, "I am with you and I am God. So remember me." But then his second encouragement is, "You're not alone. I've saved people who have not bowed their knee to Baal. I've saved people who have not gone to the broad path." And just like that, just like with Elijah, we need to remember that we're not alone either. When we feel alone on the narrow path, when we feel like we're the only ones walking it, we got to remember we have each other. We have other believers that we can turn to. But we should expect that it's only for a few that find it, those who actually seek after God. The third thing that we see about this, and this is potentially the hardest part of the whole thing, is that they have a destination. Jesus says, the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. You know, as much as I said that the broad path has many options, you can do kind of whatever you want in that broad path, there's plenty of options for you, ultimately there's only one destination. There's a lot of options on the broad path, but they're only going to one spot. And that one spot is destruction. And to be more frank about some of the terms that are used in the Bible, that's hell. We're often uncomfortable saying that word. We're uncomfortable talking about that as a destination. But the reality is that's how the Bible presents it. It's an eternal separation from God. And Jesus says that is the destination for those who enter the broad gate, who enter walk the broad path. But what's the destination for those in the narrow path who enter in the narrow gate? Jesus says it's life. It's eternal life. It's a place in heaven with our Father for all of eternity. That is what life is about. That's the destination. So we have these two paths, and you can kind of decide how you want to walk them, but Jesus says, remember, they both have a destination. They're both going somewhere. And you can't, you know, pretend that the path that you're walking on is not going to lead to a destination. We know that that's not the way the world works, right? If we were to get on a road and start heading somewhere, we would get to a destination. If you hopped on 49 heading towards Bridgeton, no matter how much you kept on 49 heading towards Bridgeton, you're not going to end up in Ohio. That's not the way it's going to work, right? You're going to hit Bridgeton, then Vineland, then you're going to hit the shore. Like, that's where it's going. The path leads to that destination. In the same way, the path that we're on is going to lead to a destination. And we have to be honest about that. Now, I do want to say on top of that, that there's always time to turn around. There's always time to change paths. We can, if we're on the broad path, it's never too late. As long as we're alive, it's never too late to get on the narrow path. But at some point, if we don't get off the broad path, we're going to reach a destination. And we may not like the destination when we reach it there. But if you're on the narrow path, you're going to reach a destination that you will like. It's life. And that is the destination. You know, there's this place in America, kind of in the Rocky Mountains, kind of on the west side. It's called the Great Divide, or the American Continental Divide. And it's this range of mountains that kind of splits the entire continent in half. And what's particularly interesting about these mountain ranges is that depending on which side of the mountain something is determines where it's going. So if you have rainfall or snow melting and it's on the west side of the mountain, then it's going to run down and it's going to hit rivers, and those rivers are going to lead out to the Pacific Ocean. But if it's on the east side of the mountain, it's going to run down to rivers, and the rivers are going to carry it out to the Atlantic Ocean. And it's interesting that rain falling just feet away from each other on one side or the other side of the mountain leads to completely different destinations. There's not like a, maybe there's a third destination. Like, no, it leads to the Pacific or the Atlantic. The path that you're on leads to a destination. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, which path are we on? Which gate are we entering? Where is our destination going to lead? So that's Jesus' kind of question that he lays before us, is how are you going to deal with everything he said? What path are you going to walk? What gate are you going to enter? But then on top of that, Jesus takes a moment and he gives two warnings. And we're going to talk about two warnings that Jesus gives us over the course of the rest of this message. The first warning that he gives us, he says to beware of false prophets. Let's see what he says starting in verse 15. This is what Jesus says. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruit. So Jesus starts with this warning. He says, beware of the false prophets. Beware of false teachers, people who are trying to lead you away. These would be people who are on the broad path but claim to be on the narrow path. They're people who are on the broad path saying, follow after me, everyone. I'm leading to the right destination. And ultimately, they're not. They're people who are leading those astray. Jesus compares them to wolves in sheep's clothing, of people who are in disguise, they're undercover. We may not even recognize them. In fact, many of these people are people who would claim to be Christians. They would claim to be involved with the church. They're people in disguise, but inwardly, Jesus calls them ravenous wolves, people who are out to get others and lead them to destruction. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is talking to the leaders of the church of Ephesus, and it's kind of his last time talking to these leaders, and he tells them, he says, be on the alert, be alert, be warned of these false teachers who are going to be coming along, these false prophets, that they're going to try to lead people away from the truth. And in our world today, there are false teachers. There are false prophets who try to lead people away from God. They try to say, get off, it's not about being on the narrow path, it's about following this way of thinking. And they say, follow after this, and it's not Jesus Christ. It's not the narrow gate. It's not following after Jesus. And Jesus says, beware of these people. So how are we supposed to beware of them? Like, what are we supposed to do about them? And Jesus says, a simple test that we're supposed to do is we're supposed to evaluate them based off what he calls their fruit. Fruit is the way that they live their lives. It's, are they outworking what has happened to them inwardly? It's, are they living as changed people for God? Are they people who are living for God, or are they people who are living for the world? And Jesus says, that's how you're supposed to recognize them, is watch how they live their lives. One of repeated theme that we kind of talked about through the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus constantly uses the word hypocrite to describe these people who claim to say one thing, who claim to do one thing, but in reality, they're not like that. They live completely different lives. And Jesus says, look at their fruit. Look at how they live their life. And this is how you're supposed to determine what they're about. And he says, You're not going to get grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. You know, if you want to know what a tree's about, look at its fruit. In the fall, this past fall, Dana and I had the opportunity to take our kids and go apple picking. So we went to this farm, and at the farm there's a lot of apple trees, but they also had some other types of trees, you know, some other different fruit that was on there. And, you know, it's important that we were doing apple picking, so you didn't want to go to these other trees. So how did I recognize which trees were apple trees and which trees were other fruits? I looked at the apples, right? I looked at the fruit, and that tells you pretty plainly, if I saw a tree with some figs on it, then that's not an apple tree. If I saw in the middle of, it could be an entire orchard of apple trees, if in the dead middle I saw an orange tree, I wouldn't sit there and I wouldn't think, that apple tree is really impressive making oranges, right? That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, that's an orange tree in an apple orchard. Like, what's it doing here? You recognize things by their fruit. It makes it pretty obvious. And you know, when Dan and I went apple picking this past fall, we actually went right towards the end of the season. So some of the trees were starting to die out for the year. And you could tell from a distance which trees were still healthy and which trees were kind of being done for the year. And how could you tell? By looking at the apples. If the apples were rotting, then that tree probably wasn't very much good anymore. If the apples still looked good, then you'd say, yeah, that's still a healthy tree. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. He says a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. You're going to recognize what type of tree it is by looking at the fruit. And Jesus says that's how we're supposed to look at people. There's a verse just a couple chapters earlier that John the Baptist says where he's talking about people. And he says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Here's the thing. The fruit is a response to a changed life. It's a response to someone who has had their sins forgiven, who's repented of their sins, who's turned to Jesus, who is walking the narrow path. And it's not the fruit that makes them saved, but the fruit is a natural working out of that salvation. And Jesus says, because of that, that's how we're supposed to look at our leaders. So with all of this warning, what is Jesus actually saying? He's saying, watch those who are teaching you. Watch your leaders. And watch how they live their life. Before you hear what someone has to say, you should watch how they live their life. And that's something that all of us have this responsibility to do. Whether you're listening to me standing up here speaking, or whether you're listening to a teacher in Sunday school, or whether you're listening to a podcast of some pastor speaking online, we should start by saying, okay, how is this teacher living their life? Are they someone who is living for God, who's bearing fruit in their lives, who is showing the fruit that comes from repentance? Are they someone who's like that, or are they someone who is faking it? Who says the right things, but they don't mean it. They're not living it out in their life. They're a hypocrite. And that's a question that we should all ask. And I would encourage you guys that you should evaluate me on that standard. You should be asking how I do on that standard. And I hope to pass that standard. But that's up to each one of you, right? You're supposed to be evaluating me. What's interesting is we get this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3 where Paul is speaking to Timothy and he's telling him about how are you supposed to create leaders in your church. And he calls them overseers or elders in the church. And Paul lays out qualifications to who should be an elder in the church. And Paul gives 15 qualifications. And of those 15 qualifications, one of those qualifications is that they're able to teach. The other 14 qualifications are character qualifications. Who are they as people? Are they people who are given to drunkenness? Are they people who get angry easily? Are they people who have a good reputation in society? People who know how to manage their children well? People who are faithful to their spouse? What type of a person are they? And though that's the qualification that we should be watching when we look at teachers and leaders in our church. We should be watching them to make sure that they're leading down the right path and they're not wolves in sheep's clothing. So that's the first warning that Jesus gives, but Jesus then turns around and gives a second warning, and the second warning gets a little bit more personal to us. The first one was kind of look at those teaching you, but the second one is kind of look at yourself and ask yourself a very serious question, what path are you on? And Jesus says you have to beware of fake fruit. Let's see what Jesus says, starting in verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This last image gives a very terrible picture of people at the last judgment. People, he says, on that day, the day of judgment. And he says that these people will come before Jesus and they will say, Jesus, I've done it. I've walked the narrow path. I've done the right things. I've done everything I need to do. And Jesus is going to say to them, but I never knew you, so depart from me. You're a worker of lawlessness. And this is a hard reality. Here's the hard reality. If you were to go out today and you were to kind of interview the everyday person on the street and you say, hey, are you on the broad path that's leading to destruction or the narrow path that's leading to life? Almost everyone would say, oh, I'm on the narrow path that's leading to life. Of course I am. But what that passage says is that only few are going to walk it. And the sad reality is that at the day of judgment, there's going to be people who thought they were on the narrow path who weren't. And that's a hard reality. And that's a call for us to check our own hearts, check where we're at. But here's what's interesting about this, is this warning serves as a counter to the previous warning. The previous warning said when we evaluate our teachers and our leaders, we should watch how they live their life. We should watch the fruit of their life. And what Jesus is saying here is you need to evaluate yourself despite your fruit. When you evaluate your teachers, you're supposed to look at their fruit, but when you look at yourself, it's supposed to be despite your fruit. In fact, these people who are before Jesus have fruit, don't they? What does it say that they do? It says, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do mighty wonders in your name? Didn't we do the right things? Don't we have the fruit? You know, there's a lot of people that I've talked to today that I've asked them the simple question, do you know where you're going, if you're going to heaven or hell? And they say, I'm going to heaven. And I ask, how do you know that? And they say, well, because I do the right things. I go to church, I give, I serve. You know, I've done all the right things. I'm nice to people, I do charity work. I've done all the right things. But Jesus says that stuff is not what saves you. It's fruit from a saved life. But that stuff doesn't save you. What does Jesus say saves you here? When he talks to them, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. What's the question? Do you know Jesus? That is the question. And that's more than just a casual knowing, right? The Greek word that's used here is not just like I've heard of Jesus. Like when I talk about the Eagles, I say like, yeah, I know the Eagles. I know Jalen Hurts, but I don't actually know them. I know of them, but I don't know them. But what Jesus uses here is a word that describes a relationship. When I say I know my wife and I know my children, there's this relationship there. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, do you know me? See, that is what makes the difference down what path you're on, down what gate you enter. It's not the works that you do. It's not the things that we do. It's not the fruit of your life. It's have you placed your faith in Jesus? You see, the ultimate answer is that if we evaluate ourselves based on the good and bad that we've done, then we all fail because we're all sinners. But because of God's great love for us, he sent Jesus to this earth to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. So that if we believe in him, we can be changed from the broad path that leads to destruction to the narrow path that leads to life. It's through Jesus and Jesus alone. In Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's not about what we do. It's about who we believe in. It's by faith, is what that verse says. By faith in Jesus Christ. You know, that is the most foundational part of it all. Now, if you're a person who's changed, the Bible speaks very plainly that should result in fruit in your life. If you're somebody who's placed your faith in Jesus, you should have a changed life that results in fruit. But that fruit is a result of a changed life. It does not define a changed life. What defines a changed life, what defines what path you're on, is Jesus Christ. See, at the end of all of this, we have to come to a simple reality. Jesus talks about the broad gate and the narrow gate, but the narrow gate is Jesus himself. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking about having a place in heaven for them. And he says, you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who is the gate? Jesus. There is only one way to the narrow gate. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So what do we do with all of this? This is what we're left with. How do we want to live our lives? And this is the challenge that Jesus is giving us as one of his conclusions to his entire series, is how do you want to live your life? Do you want to live it your way? Do you want to live it by Jesus? And he says, that will make all the difference. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we praise you that you have given us life. That it's not because of anything we've done. It's not because we've earned it. It's not because we deserve it. But it's because of your great love for us that you gave us this path to life. That you stand at the gate. That you are the one who gives life. And it's only through your name. Lord, we confess that so often we live our lives our way. We live our lives as if we're on the broad path. We live our life as if we get to do what we want. And Lord, I pray that we would realize that that path leads to a destination, and we need you. Lord, I pray that we would get off the broad path, that we would enter the narrow path, we would enter through the narrow gate, that we would go towards life. Lord, I pray that we would be careful of false teachers, that we'd be careful even of our own selves deceiving ourselves into thinking that we're in the right spot. I pray that we would turn to you to make sure that we are entering the narrow gate. Lord, it's only by your name. It's only by what you've done for us. I pray that we would look to that this morning. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
As we sing this next song, we can see that the writer was once on that broad, wide path. And then as the song proceeds, you see that he found the better path, the narrow path, and that is Jesus. Let's celebrate him. Please stand. I'm not afraid.
I want to give one more open invitation. One of the things that I said this morning is that there's always time to get off the broad path and to enter the narrow path. There's time as long as we're here on this earth to do that. And I don't know if there's anyone here today who doesn't know that. They look at their lives and they say, what path am I on? And if you're asking that question this morning, you'd have people in the front who would love to talk with you about that, to spend more time discussing that topic with you about determining what path they're on, because this is the question that we all need to ask ourselves. Which path are we on? Which gate are we entering? And Lord, as we go out today, we pray that we'd be people who enter the narrow gate, that we'd be people who follow after you, we'd be people who have placed our faith in you for the salvation and forgiveness of our sins. Lord, I pray that we would live like that, that we would live as people on the narrow path. I pray these things in your name. Amen.